And when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And now reading verses 21 to 25. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Phil.
Right. Well, it's great to see you.
Keep that open. Our subject over these 4 weeks is the advance of the kingdom of God in this age. So between the first coming of the Messiah Jesus and his one day return. And you can see, just look down with me at Mark chapters 3 and 4. That is the subject. That's been the subject for the last 2 weeks. That is the subject of these two chapters. Now, I'm just going to pose a 30-second question round tables. What do you think people would expect the advancing kingdom of God to look like? Assuming it was real, you know, if you were to ask your colleagues, what do you think that people would expect the advancing kingdom of God to look like? Okay, 30 seconds around tables, and then we'll draw back. One thing Jesus makes clear from the start is that his kingdom is not going to advance as we might expect the kingdom of God to advance. One of my sons went through a phase of being obsessed with tidal waves. It lasted at least 6 months. It felt like longer, actually. How tall are they, Daddy? Again and again. How far in will they come? Have you ever seen one? I guess we might expect the kingdom of God to advance a bit like that. A tidal wave, just unmissable. That we could be forgiven for expecting that. That's what the Jews were expecting. But we see here in chapters 3 and 4 of Mark's Gospel, the teacher, this whole block of teaching that Jesus has given us about what we should expect the advancing kingdom of God to look like in this age. Instead of a dazzling and undeniably visible event, rather, he says, it will advance through a word, a message. Chapter 4, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Like a message landing on a seed landing on different soils. A bit more like a quiet revolution than a tidal wave. Now, hopefully, we've got people in here investigating the Christian faith, and you're really, really welcome with us. We've called this series The Real Jesus because the real Jesus is full of surprises, and today is no exception. So, the parable of the sower, which we looked at last week, do listen to that talk if you weren't here. The parable of the sower, which we looked at last week, is the heart of this chapter, chapter 4. And look at verse 13 with me, chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus says, "Do you not understand this parable?" That's the parable of the sower. "How then will you understand all the parables?" And so therefore, every other parable is hanging off this parable. But around the parable of the sower in this chapter, Jesus gives 5 further clarifications and expansions on that parable. Encouragements for the good soil. And today we're going to look at 3 of those, next week the remaining 2. Okay, so today 3 vital lessons about the advance of the kingdom. Number one, Jesus is both revealing and concealing the gospel. Just look at verse 10, When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Okay, so we see first here that Jesus is quietly revealing to his people the secret of the kingdom of God. You see that in verse 11. "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." What is the secret of the kingdom of God? It's the message about the coming rule of God through his Messiah, King Jesus. In other words, the secret of the kingdom of God is shorthand for the gospel. Just look, turn back with me to see this. Chapter 1, verse 15. What does Jesus preach? Verse 14, he comes to proclaim the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, so the secret of the kingdom of God is the gospel. And so therefore, the secret of the kingdom of God has at its heart the identity of Jesus. He is the Son of God who has come to die for his people, and he will come again and reign forever. That's the secret of the kingdom of God, the gospel. Who Jesus is, what he's come to do. Okay, so why describe it as a secret? It's a secret because the truth is God's to reveal. The truth is God's to reveal, and he reveals it to whomever he chooses, okay? So these people around Jesus are God's people. They're the ones that he's described as brother and sister and mother in chapter 3. Do you see that in verse 34, chapter 3, looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brother." And then in 4, verse 10, those around him asked him about the parables. Jesus says, "To you, my people, has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." That is, to you has been given to see the truth about me, who I am, the Son of God. And so to believe in Jesus is a gift of God's grace to his people. You might say, therefore, that the gospel is an open secret. It is open in the sense that it's proclaimed as far and wide as possible, as Jesus has been doing and as the church is doing today. But it's a secret because the revelation of the truth of the gospel to the human heart, well, that is a gift of God. And so notice, therefore, the quietness of the advance of the kingdom of God. A massive crowd has just heard Jesus' teaching. 4 verse 1. A very large crowd. But by this stage, they've gone home. Verse 10. And they've gone back to their lives, back to their work, unmoved, uninterested. But a handful have come to Jesus, quietly and alone, to ask him. And Jesus says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." This handful of people, they don't look any different. They still have the same hair colour. They just look like normal people. Can you think about that? What a quiet, unremarkable thing. Just these people who'd begun to follow Jesus out of the crowd, a small minority. And so the kingdom of God is advancing as the secret is given one by one to individuals. Can I say, if you're a Christian here today, do you know how blessed you are to have been given sight to see the truth about Jesus? He is the Son of God. He's died for your sins. He's coming again. No, we don't deserve it. But the glorious grace of God, the God of the universe, well, he has revealed this most precious truth to you, if you're a Christian. But it doesn't stop there. Just look down. He goes on. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The point that Jesus is making is that he is both revealing and concealing the gospel. Which raises the question, who is he concealing it from? Those outside, verse 11. Well, who are they? And I think the key to understanding this, again, is the context. So often, always when we're reading the Bible, we must look at the context. We've come across these people already. Those outside are those who have begun to harden their hearts against Jesus. Just look down at verse 31. His mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they said to him, verse 32, the crowd sitting around him, there was a crowd sitting around him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Okay, so who are those outside? Well, at that point, his family was saying he was mad, along with the Jewish leaders who were saying he was possessed by Satan and were plotting to kill him. And so by this stage in the account of Jesus' life, those outside carries a theological weight. In other words, they are those who, despite the clear revelation of Jesus, chapters 1 and 2, have begun nevertheless to harden their hearts against him. And in response to this, Jesus begins to teach in parables. 4 verse 2. He began to speak in riddles, because his purpose was not only to reveal, but to conceal. And all those outside heard was a story about farming and seeds and paths and birds. Nonsense. On a level with a fairy tale. No impact on their lives. Off they went home. But maybe someone asked them when they got home, what did he say? Oh, well, he's talking about, you know, some seeds being thrown on different soils and birds coming. Well, didn't make sense to me. Why did Jesus begin to preach in parables? Verse 12. So that, and this is about spiritual blindness, they may indeed see but not perceive. In other words, they could hear the words of Jesus, but they could not understand their meaning. They could see Jesus and what he was doing, but they could not perceive who he really was. Spiritual blindness. How often this seems to be the case when people come to hear the gospel. How often it just seems to get worse and not better. What is Jesus saying? He's saying this. If people will close their eyes to his light, if they will cover their ears to his words, if they will harden their hearts to his offer of grace, well, then the Lord Jesus will confirm them in their decision. You might put it like this. Those who want to be blind, well, they will be given blindness. And Jesus will cause his words to become blah, blah, blah. Like a story about farming that makes no sense and has no relevance to life. Very sobering, isn't it? Why is Jesus doing this? Verse 12. So that they will not be able to repent. There's no way around that. Lest, literally, so that they should not, to block them forever from coming to find forgiveness in him. Well, this is uncomfortable. Is it not? It is a different kind of Jesus perhaps to the one we thought he was. So much more authority, so much more in control over the response of every man and woman to his gospel. But why does he tell us this? He's speaking not to those outside, but to those inside, to his disciples. He tells his disciples this because they've just seen the majority of the crowd walk off, away from him. What kind of worries do you think they might be feeling? That though this crowd has been hearing the same thing, the disciples needed to understand, and we need to understand, as we see the same thing happening today, that Jesus is not doing one thing, but two things. He's doing a double work. And so the advance of God's kingdom, lesson 101, the gospel divides. There is a great division quietly happening today. Judgment has begun. Today, the Lord Jesus has begun the division of humanity. The saved people of God, to whom he gives the gift of the secret of the kingdom of God. Those outside, whom he is bringing blindness upon. This is why so often people seem to become less and less open to the gospel over time. Have you witnessed that? Someone starts keen with questions and you open the Bible, but in the end, oh, they're just words, just a story, no relevance. We must expect two responses to the gospel, not one. Okay? The gospel will either become the greatest treasure of a person's heart or nonsense. Both are the deliberate work of Jesus. And if we don't realise this, well, one of the things we'll do is we'll probably change the gospel to make it more appealing. And we see that happening all the time. Okay, so firstly, Jesus, both to reveal and conceal the gospel. Second, encouragement for the good soil. The kingdom is hidden now, but one day to be seen by all. Look down at verses 21, 22. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." What's going on here? Well, this parable flows straight off the back of the parable of the sower, as all these four parables do. In other words, it's the same thing from another perspective. And the point Jesus is making, I think, in this parable is don't mistake the present for the future. So the lamp is here must be the kingdom of God. It's the secret thing that has been referred to in verse 11. The secret of the kingdom of God. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Okay, so the lamp is the kingdom of God. So what's the point? The point is that just as the purpose of a lamp is not to be hidden but to be brought out, so the purpose of the kingdom of God is not to remain hidden forever. Why would Jesus say that here, after the parable of the sower? To encourage his disciples. Because in the present, there is a hiddenness and a quietness to the coming of the kingdom of God. Do you feel that? It is a secret that is being given quietly to his people as the word is preached. It is not obvious to the watching world. Here we are, sat in a pub. A tiny handful of us, you in your offices, sharing the gospel with any colleague who will listen. It is not obvious to the watching world. Instead, people ask, well, if your Messiah really has come, then how come the world hasn't changed at all? Well, here is a precious promise to the believer. If the kingdom seems hidden now, which it does, it will not always be the case. There is a day coming when Jesus will return on the clouds of heaven and bring in the kingdom of God. On that day, there will be no more secrets, no more doubts, no more will anybody be able to say, "Where is your king? Where is your God?" No more quiet revolution, but instead every eye will see and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What the Apostle Peter calls the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about here. There is a bright eternal day to come that will span forever for the people of the risen Lord Jesus. On that day, the fruitfulness of the life of the Christian will finally be apparent to be seen. The fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. We can't see it now. On that day, all things will be seen. So Jesus says, with this first hanging off parable, off the parable of sower, don't mistake the present for the future. The current state of affairs will not always be. The kingdom of God cannot remain hidden forever and will not remain hidden forever. There is a day to come. And so, Christian, keep going in this age, in this life, living by faith in the promises of God. And how are we to live, how are we to respond in the meantime, brings us to the third parable, very briefly. Bring a big tub of listening. Bring a big tub of listening to God, and God will bless you with understanding and faith. Just look at verse 24. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Bring a big tub of listening, and God will bless you to overflowing with understanding and faith. There's one command that Jesus repeats throughout this chapter. Did you see it? Listen, verse 4. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, verse 9. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, verse 23. Verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. After last week, we were left with the question, okay, so who is the good soil? What does it look like to be the good soil? Answer, very simple. The good soil is the person who listens to Jesus and goes on listening. And there is a great promise in this parable. Do you see it? Because in this parable, God promises that whoever brings a big tub of humble listening, God will bless with understanding and faith, and he will bless them to overflowing. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. On a school camping trip, for example, to illustrate, if you have to bring your own bowl and to be filled up with whatever slop it is, whatever food it is on the school camping holiday, well, they can only fill you up what you bring. So if you bring a thimble, you'll only get a thimble full of rice pudding. If you bring a bucket, they could technically fill your bucket, although they probably wouldn't. That's the point. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And you can see that the measure is listening to Jesus' words, verse 24, because he says, pay attention to what you hear with the measure you use. Pay attention. And so as you listen with a big measure, God will fill your soul with understanding and with truth and with faith to overflowing. The one who has understanding, more will be given. We see this happening in our own experience, don't we? Those who grow in faith are those who listen to and go on listening to God's word. You might ask, what does it look like to bring a big measure of listening? I think there are three things, time, desire, prayer. Obviously, it involves time. The good soil will prioritize listening to God's word in the Bible as opposed to the cares of this age, the pursuit of riches, or the desires for other things. This may be a challenge for some of us. Is Bible study, is going to church to hear God's word, is that the priority of our lives, as opposed to our career or whatever else it is? It's not just time, I don't think. It's also how we listen, with what attitude. Those words, Jesus says, pay attention. In other words, desire, hunger. Bring a big measure of desire to know, to learn, A big measure of, I don't have the answers, Lord, but you do. A big measure of, I don't know, please teach me. I think it's possible for those of us who've been a Christian perhaps for a long time to start to think we know all the answers and everything that God's word has to say. Well, are you still coming with a big measure of humble desire? And thirdly, I think prayerfulness. They ask, Lord, please show me. And the wonderful promise here is that God will fill us with understanding and with faith. Can I just say, it is key to realise that faith, growing faith, is not just zapped to us out of the blue. But it is given to us, Jesus says here, by God, as we bring a big measure of listening to his word, the Bible. Come along to lunchtime talks. Make sure you're going to a church that is teaching you the Bible as a priority. Many don't. You want to be the good soil? Listen. Go on listening. Time, desire, prayer. God will fill you. Maybe not in our timings, maybe not according to our plan. But this promise is rock solid. He will. And ultimately, we will bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold in the end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these three lessons that the Lord Jesus gives us about the advance of your kingdom in this age. How we pray that you would enable us to bring a big measure of listening, that we might be the good soil, bearing fruit 30, 60, 100-fold, and lift our eyes to that future day when your kingdom will no longer be hidden and quiet, but gloriously revealed. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.